relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
I want to personally invite you to join me in Washington, D.C. on September the 26th for the Prayer March 2020. This will be a singular focus on prayer for our country. I hope thousands will join me to march from the Lincoln Memorial to the U.S. Capitol. Those are the words of a tweet written by Franklin Graham. You know him as the president and CEO of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and, most famously, Samaritan's Purse, doing the Lord's work around the world. He is with us right now. Franklin Graham, welcome to America First.
Sebastian, thank you for having me today.
I am so delighted. Of course, everybody knows who you are, the millions of listeners listening to this show right now, our viewers on YouTube. But I got to meet you for the first time just a few weeks ago on the grounds of the White House, where you some recorded words from you provided an invocation that was most powerful. Talk to us why you've made this decision, why just a few days from now you hope to have as many, many people come to the Lincoln Memorial here in the nation's capital.
Well, Sebastian, I believe our nation is in peril. We're in trouble. I don't think we've ever been as divided in my lifetime. Maybe go back to the Vietnam War, our country was divided. But we might even be more so today than we were then. The hatred that we see in the hearts of people. 2020, the coronavirus, keeping people locked away, quarantined, isolated, people not being able to go to their jobs, the disruptions, and it seems like it's almost a perfect storm, and with the election, it seems like things are boiling over. And the injustices we have seen play out on the streets, and many people feel that they have no voice and no one's listening. The only person who can fix this is God. And it's not going to be a politician. It's not going to be a political party. It's God. And I believe if we call on His name, and this is what the prayer march is all about. It's not about speakers, entertainment. We're coming to start at the Lincoln Memorial at noon on the 26th, and we're going to march. And there's something about a march that shows unity. During the civil rights period, we saw the marches and the unity that people had one with another. And I want the city of Washington, our nation's capital, I want them to see the unity of the church. I want us to call upon the name of God, and every step that we take, we pray, and we cover that. We that ground that we walk on, we pray that God will turn that to holy ground, and that he would shake that city and shake the hearts of our politicians. We've taken God out of our schools. We've taken God out of our government. The secularists hate God, and they have taken over so many areas of our government, and I just believe that the only hope is God. So we're coming to pray, and I hope that thousands will join me, and we all participate together, and we march and pray as we go forward from the Lincoln Memorial to the Capitol.
Please join all the Americans who will be there on the day to pray for this nation at prayermarch2020.com. That's prayermarch2020.com. One of our guests, a very godly man, said that the situation is so dire that it's not just prayers that are needed, but somebody like the president, an American leader, has to officiate over some kind of spiritual rededication of the nation. Do you think things are so dire that we have to have a rededication of this nation to its founding principles?
Yes, and I say that kind of with a hesitant voice. There needs to be not only a rededication, but there needs to be a confession of our sins as a nation, and a turning from those sins, and a turning from sins and turning to God. And I believe when we do that, God might just hear from heaven and possibly heal our country. Our country needs a spiritual healing. And maybe God will use this prayer march to be a seed for that, a beginning for that. I don't know. But I just felt in my heart this is something that I should do. And others, there'll be many thousands of us who will join together, and we will be united, praying for our country, and I hope everyone who lives within a day's drive will just take that Saturday and come and join me, and let's shake that city of Washington for God and for his glory and for his son Jesus Christ.
You can follow him at Franklin_Graham on Twitter. I've just retweeted his tweet where you can register to join us on September the 26th. Franklin Graham, let me ask you, just this week, in a church in El Paso, in a cathedral actually, a statue of Jesus that had been there for 90 years was toppled and beheaded by a man who, ironically, is named Isaiah Cantrell, who said that he did this because the skin color of the statue was wrong. Not too long ago, the President of the United States walked across what looked like an urban battlefield to stand in front of St. John's Presidential Church, a block from the White House, the night after someone tried to burn it to the ground. Is it too much to say that there is a war against those who believe in our Judeo-Christian heritage in America today?
I think so. I think there is a war. And, you know, the president was criticized by, and sadly, by members of that church for coming down and holding up a Bible. And I appreciate the fact that the president did that, that he was willing to walk across that park, Lafayette Park, behind the White House, and go to the church and stand on the steps and have his picture taken holding the Word of God. There's no question. Our country is in moral trouble, spiritual trouble, political trouble. And I know that this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And that has led our nation for these many several hundred years, but we're losing it, and it's our politicians in Washington that are stripping this from us, and various groups across the country that hate God and hate his name and hate his son Jesus Christ and will do everything they can. And you know, you can topple a statue, and that's fine. You can burn a church down, okay, fine. But the church is not a building, and our faith is not built around a statue. Our faith is in our hearts, and the church are men and women who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as their Savior and follow Him as Lord. That's the church. And you can burn the buildings all you want, but that's not going to destroy the church. And the true church in America, I hope, will show up on the 26th, and let's shake Washington. And when I say shake, I'll pray that the Holy Spirit of God will shake Washington. And God hears prayer. He answers prayer. And I believe if we come, and just even if two or three are there, and my name, Jesus, says, I'm in the midst. And so we want the Lord Jesus Christ to be there in our midst.
He's the president and CEO of Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He is doing the Lord's work every single day. Please follow him on Twitter at Franklin_Graham. Thank you so much for joining us. And please join him. I want to be there as well by going to prayermarch2020.com. There is a war against this nation and against what we believe in. Evil is real. It exists in the heart of men across this world. It walks on God's earth. We have to rededicate this nation, and we have to celebrate the values upon which it was founded, especially today on Constitution Day. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting across the nation to millions of listeners and viewers on YouTube, on Facebook, and available on Instagram TV. And don't forget, wherever podcasts are, you can find us. Next, we're going to have a little snippet of our long discussion with Douglas Murray and Hogan Gidley of the Trump campaign.
Oh, there he is. There's my guy. Good Thank job. You, How's your new show going? Good?
Very well, thank
I
you.
I heard good.
What does it mean to be a man? What is masculinity in an age of crazy political correctness? Well, we sat down with the superb author, raconteur Douglas Murray, for almost an hour. He's the author of a new book called The Madness of Crowds. And here is a little clip. I find it delicious, I find it piquant, that you fight for the idea of the alpha male, and you've had enough with the cultural cuckolds, the so-called men who are wearing I'm the feminist t-shirts.
Yes.
Do you, given your lifestyle preferences, how do you, are you attacked? What position do you find yourself in when you, as a homosexual man, say, come on, guys. Men are men. Women are women. This trans stuff is insane. And rah-rah for alpha males like Donald Trump. What does that do to you, Douglas?
It's not a direct quote.
No, it's not quite. Not quite. A little paraphrase. I'm taking liberties, but I still find it entertaining.
No, I mean, I'll tell you what's going on, I think. I think that on issue after issue, people think that they aren't allowed to speak about their own lives. So men think that they're not allowed to speak about women. Being gay, I seem to be able to say a little more, it seems. It's very strange to say that, but I seem to be able to get away with saying a lot of things that a lot of straight men and now these days can't say. I mean, for instance, one of the points I make in The Madness of Crowds is we've all known throughout history and indeed through literature, you just cited Chaucer and Shakespeare, these are two very good examples, we know the story of the predatory male. That's a familiar trope throughout literature, history, and much more. But what about something that's also familiar in history, and indeed is in Chaucer, the predatory female?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Our age pretends that that doesn't exist. It's a totally forgotten trope. I say, no, there's no need to pretend that things we all knew till yesterday don't exist. So, yes, I don't think, by the way, I ever get any leeway or, as it were, credit for any of this. I don't expect any more than I'd expect credit for my hair color or for my eye color. But here's the problem. On issue after issue, people have been bullied into being silent. All of the epithets that can come their way daily, and they live in fear of them. People live in fear of being called a homophobe or a transphobe or a sexist or a misogynist or a racist. And here's the thing. It only works because we know that we are not. If somebody is actually somebody who hates women or hates black people, they wouldn't mind. They wouldn't complain about it. They'd be delighted to take the label on. But we mind in our societies because we know these things to be wrong and we know that they are not accurate descriptions of us. So I suggest to people that we find ways for these weapons not to be allowed to be endlessly used dishonestly by dishonest actors, because that is what is happening. We have people who are dishonest.
But do you really think, let me push back for a moment, do you really think that you're not even slightly insulated? I mean, in that interview that you did with James that we are going to repost, you said, I can't be cancelled. When I write books, they're best-selling books in Brazil to, you know, Brixton. But don't you think that you are, you know, in a slightly special place? Or, you know, I'm not trying to undermine your argument, because I want people to believe they cannot be cancelled. But do you actually mean that nobody can be cancelled, Douglas Murray?
No, I think that people can be cancelled when they make stupid slips of the tongue, even. Because we live in a very unforgiving age. It's why I'm very sympathetic to young people, and I don't like the talk of snowflakes so much more, because young people are growing up in a technological era which is terrifying,
yeah,
where if you make one mistake in your life, you can be over. Now, we as adults all know that is the danger of the terrain we're in. It's very dangerous for adults. It's terrifying for young people. But I think that the point I tried to make there was there's no characteristic of mine that protects me. I'm protected by the fact, if I am protected by anything, that I say what I think and I am beholden to nobody. Now, this is the crucial thing. In our age, if you are beholden to anyone, if you work in a company or a firm, you work a till in a supermarket and you say something on social media, and I'm not making that up, I give examples of this, you can be fired because the mob will come for your boss and they will say, how dare you have this person in your employment? Now, I say, some of us, I'm very fortunate to be in this position because I've been a writer all my life. Some of us have the right to speak because we are not beholden to anybody. My own opinion is enough for me, and I'm delighted always to discover that it's more than enough sometimes for other members of the public.
He's associate editor at The Spectator, fellow with the National Review Institute. The book is The Madness of Crowds. Follow him right now on Twitter, Douglas K. Murray. Douglas, what is your advice to those who, I mean, we are very blessed, both of us, not to be beholden to anyone. There is a certain insulation that we enjoy by dint of who we are and the way that we actually make our living. But to those who have a boss, to those who work in a corporation, when they see, when the mandatory training comes along, and you have the segregated, this is the minority training, this is for the white people, and the first day of the training, this has happened here in the Department of Justice, this is not just a corporate problem, this is a government issue that we have whistleblowers on. When the first day of the white supremacist training demands of that employee that they apologize for their whiteness, mm-hmm, and write a letter to the unknown black person to apologize for their racism, what does that person do if not genuflect at the altar of the extremists to just save their job, Douglas?
Now, I understand why people want to save their jobs. I understand why people wish to go along with the madness. The aim of the era is to not go along with the madness. I think it is quite atrocious that the American government, like the British government, has had such training in government departments. I applaud and did so in The Spectator last week, President Trump's decision to take this, what I describe as moral asbestos, out of the system of government. Now, however, it is in the corporate world, and it needs a lot of unpicking and a lot of stripping away there too. I suggest, because I say in The Madness of Crowds what it is in this system that is totally rotten, I suggest that people everywhere say no to this. I say that you go armed. That's one of the things, the reason I wrote this book, is to arm people with the arguments. I've had letters from people in America and Britain who have said to their bosses, you have sent me a reading list, let me send you one back. And I was very pleased just this morning to receive from an American reader just that. They said their boss had said to them they had to read White Fragility. They said, I think that you should read The Madness of Crowds. The point is that we need to unpick this moral asbestos. It is rotting our society. And I add one other thing. It will rot you if you play the game. It is deeply, deeply psychologically disturbing under any government to agree to things you know not to be true. And we know this from the writings of great dissidents of the past. I think particularly of Václav Havel in what is now the Czech Republic, who said, if you do these things, if you hang the sign you have to sign because you're meant to, if you do all the things, chant all the chants, part of your inside dies because it rots. We should not be creating Americans who know that the only way to thrive is to lie. It is quite wrong. It needs to be stopped wherever you find it.
Yes, it is indoctrination, and we discussed so very much more. Check out the video. We'll post it right now on our Twitter and Facebook feeds. Douglas Murray, the full interview, the author of The Madness of Crowds. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Don't touch that dial. There is nothing I love more than a nice, juicy American steak. Recently, I met some incredible patriots, and I would like to introduce you to my friends at GoodRanchers.com. Now you can skip the inconsistent meat aisle at the grocery store forevermore. Get the very best American meat delivered constantly right to your door. And yes, I said American. All their meat is raised and harvested right here in the U.S. of A. Good Ranchers partners with American farmers all across our great land to get the best quality meat delivered with free shipping right to your door. Go to GoodRanchers.com to choose your scheduled delivery today. 100% American-born, raised, and harvested beef and chicken delivered consistently to your home. T-bone, ribeyes, fillets, and more. Oh, porterhouse, that's my favorite. Use promo code Gorka, G-O-R-K-A, to save $20 off your purchase. That's GoodRanchers.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, to save $20. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Gorka.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Regularly, he would join us from his position in the White House as former principal deputy press secretary. Now he's been bumped upstairs, national press secretary for the Trump 2020 campaign. He's none other than Hogan Gidley. Hogan, can I ask you a personal question?
Please do.
Have you ever, at a public event, whipped out your iPhone, played a Spanish song about smelling a woman's neck during a public event?
This year or ever?
Ever! I need to know. Have you ever done that?
We
need
full disclosure.
Full disclosure, Hogan.
I can honestly say
hand on heart.
Not.
Hand on heart. Come on. Have you ever?
Hand on heart. No, I literally have a Bible in my office. My hand's on it right now. I promise you I have not. Look, there's pandering, and then there's pandering. That's definitely the latter.
So when we saw sleepy, creepy, slow Joe Biden do that, were you impressed, Hogan Gidley?
Impressed at what? That he couldn't keep the beat? Or that he could work his iPhone? Or that he had no idea who that band was or what that song was about?
Because he seemed
what part should I be impressed by?
But he seemed so impressed with his own pandering, didn't he? He seemed like a giddy little child.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely he did. Now, we know how he is off script. My goodness, if that's him on script, he's got nowhere to hide at this point.
No,
that's
okay.
A bad deal.
Okay, let's talk seriously about what's going on in the last 46 days before the election. It's incredible. We're already there. In the meantime, follow this guy, J. Hogan Gidley, on Twitter. Hogan, it looks like the Democrats are worried to me. Do you also get that sense at the Trump campaign?
I do. They thought they could keep their candidate locked up in a basement. They thought that, he wouldn't have to get out and actually open his mouth. They thought he wouldn't have to answer for any of his, 50 years worth of failed policy in elected office. But we smoked him out. He has to come out now. I think they were worried about that. They're worried about the fact that this president actually delivered on promises to all of the American people, not to mention what he's done for the African-American community, what he's done for the Hispanic community, and all those voting blocks they counted on. With their pandering, by the way, for decades and decades and decades, it doesn't look like they're going to be there en masse like they used to be. And so this president's making strong inroads across the board, because it turns out, what do you know, people actually like politicians who promise something and keep the promise, politicians who actually deliver on something to make their lives better. And one thing I'll say, you go back and look at those conventions. Our convention, while the Democrats used Hollywood, we used the heartland. We used real people talking about the greatness of this country, which is something you absolutely can attest to. And they talked about how they got opportunities here they could never get anywhere else, and how this president's policies made their lives better. Democrats talked about how America is inherently evil and how it's the cause of the world's problems. We talked about America's greatness and how we've all had difficult times in our past. That's not unique to America. But what is unique is how this country has fought through difficult times and come out stronger. We're a beacon of hope, of light, of freedom, of strength across the world. Democrats can't say that because Democrats don't believe it.
And you mentioned the Latino community. I saw 3 days ago the Latinos for Biden event somewhere, I think maybe Pennsylvania. Four cars showed up for that event. You see the incredible figures. I'm not a pollster. You are inside the campaign with regards to approval rating for the president in the black community, especially the male black community. Is it possible that in 46 days we could see an historic event when it comes to minority support for a Republican incumbent president?
I hope so. I think so. We're in good shape, and we're poised to do that. It looks like largely in the African American community, as you just pointed out, it's a record of results with like criminal justice reform that Democrats promised but never did. It's opportunity zones that, when this economy was humming along in incredible fashion, that those zones actually outpaced the wage growth we saw around the country by 8%. We saw the lowest numbers of African American unemployment, the highest numbers of African American employment. Historic money going to black colleges and universities, something that the previous administration did not do, that Joe Biden didn't do. And also school choice, something that the president wants and demands so that not everyone is stuck in a failing school. Joe Biden will never be for that. He wants to keep the teachers unions in power and not allow those who can get a better education somewhere else to get that education. He refuses to do it.
A man who famously said, and we've played the audio, that he didn't want his children to grow up in a racial jungle. That's the bigot Biden. We're talking to Hogan Gidley. Follow him right now at J. Hogan Gidley. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Hogan will be back with us in a moment. But first, I have a question for you. Are you healthy? Are you as healthy as you could be? Come on, be honest. If you're not, do what I do. Every day before the show, I take Balance of Nature, formulated by Dr. Douglas Howard. When I do that, I am taking 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables, and it's just 6 little capsules. That's how incredible this product is. And if you order it now, Dr. Howard is going to give you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order. Call them on 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com, promo code GORKA. Be the healthiest you can be. Balanceofnature.com, promo code GORKA. You've got the wrong.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
Someone else, a good friend of the show, who's also on the side of the U.S. Constitution on this Constitution Day, is, of course, Mike Lindell, a great supporter of Salem Radio and America First.
the man who invented MyPillow. He sold 51 million of them. They're so good. I use them. The president uses them. The pillow that never gets hot, never loses its shape. Just drop my name at MyPillow.com to get up to 50% off all of his great products. Or you can call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. We are back with former Principal Deputy Press Secretary for the White House, now National Press Secretary for the Donald J. Trump for President campaign, Hogan Gidley. Hogan, you are there professionally communicating for the president to get him reelected in 46 days' time. I want to ask you a professional question. There are so many avenues of attack in terms of strategic communications. When we talk about the Democrats and we talk about the top of their ticket, we can talk about the corruption. We can talk about Hunter Biden, Frank Biden. We can talk about Joe Biden's bigotry, whether it's the I don't want my kids to grow up in a racial jungle, or his being the chairman of the committee that executed that quote-unquote high-tech lynching against Clarence Thomas, the black nominee for the Supreme Court. There's so many ways to look at his track record, but there's also the one I've been told, hey, be nice to him. Don't talk about his health and his lack of cognitive capacity, which Democrats are now admitting to. But at the end of the day, as somebody who served the president, I served the president, there is an issue here, isn't there? Because the president is responsible for our national security and as such is control of our nuclear weapons, amongst many other things. So what is the most important, if there's one issue that really disqualifies Joe Biden, what is it for you and the campaign?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. It's interesting how the media can go on and on and on and on about someone who lied that the president suffered a stroke, speaking of dangerous medical conversations, which is completely untrue. And even though the president's own doctor, the best in the world, put a statement out saying it wasn't true, they still pushed that lie. And if you're wondering about Joe Biden's health, look, don't take my word for it. Listen to both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who now apparently have made a few slips that it's the Harris-Biden ticket.
Yes.
So maybe someone needs to tell us something about the health of the nominee on the Democrat side. Look, I just think one of the biggest issues in this campaign is, as you know, they're all about choices. Whether it's the economy, whether it's the culture, whether it's coronavirus, Joe Biden has failed us every single opportunity he's had to make these decisions. 50 years of failure in elected office, and when asked, it's almost as though he's saying, I'm going to start doing things for you, the American people, starting now. Because he's had seats of power for decades, and he's done nothing. And the media just continue to cover for this guy. He has failed time and time again. Every foreign policy decision was horrible. Every job decision like NAFTA crushed the American worker, the American middle class. His ideas on COVID, first of all, we'd done them all. Second of all, when he was faced with swine flu, all he did was shut down testing and stop testing. Could you imagine the outcry if Donald Trump said he would stop testing? Joe Biden has been a failure every single step of the way. And quite frankly, I think that this president, who has been so successful in such a short amount of time, exposes Biden's failures every single time he opens his mouth. And just him being there, just him being in the White House, shows how much a businessman with a do it attitude can actually accomplish on behalf of the American people.
Give us the inside baseball, the mechanics of victory, Hogan Gidley, in the next 46 days. Is it just is victory for the president just a function of what you and your colleagues are doing on the campaign and then what happens at the polling stations on November 3rd? Or how much of a role is there for people who are listening, the millions of people listening or watching this show right now?
Well, look, we have an apparatus that is the envy of the political universe. We've had over 75 million voter contacts since shutdown.
Wow.
Joe Biden has zero. We have more than a billion views across all of our social media platforms. Joe Biden gets 19 people to watch him online, and 17 of those are just members of the media wanting to donate. And the other two, I think, are staffers that have to be there. So the enthusiasm, the excitement is there for our candidate. We send out his children all over the country. I go out. Other members of the campaign staff go out to remind people without the filter of the mainstream media just how much this president has been able to accomplish. But let's not forget the power of the presidency, the power of Donald Trump when he gets up to that podium, when he talks directly to the people of this great country. It resonates. It works. We have the best candidate. He has the best message, he has the best record, and Lord knows he has the best work ethic. We go to more cities, more states, more little towns across this country and do more interviews in a day than Joe Biden does in an entire year. It is so obvious that the president is ready to take this thing to the next level for the next 4 years, get this country back on track, eradicate COVID, get people back working again. We've already got 50% of the jobs back. We lost from a global pandemic. We still have a long way to go, but this president has built this economy once. He's going to do it again. And getting out there in those and reminding people of that, I think, is so important. But the apparatus of the campaign is something that I don't think anyone has ever seen before. And Joe Biden is banking on just doing ads, having his vice president, who may or may not be the presidential candidate, you know, with their own words being the Harris-Biden ticket, out there talking. He's hoping that gets him through. He hopes pulling up his phone, playing Despacito is going to be something that's really going to drive home, drive out, turn out. We don't think that's the case. We think we have the best product to sell because, as you know, you just can't sell a bad product, and Joe Biden is a bad product.
Well, you have an incredible, incredible machine. It is the envy of the political world, but we take nothing for granted amongst those who wish to save the Republic and make America great again. So if you're listening, the 3 million listeners, the more than 13 million views we've had on YouTube already, please be part of this team. Join today. Go to DonaldJTrump.com. Go to TrumpVictory.com. You can make calls for the president at TrumpTalk.gop. Join today the team that is saving this nation. And while you're doing that, follow our good friend, National Press Secretary for Donald J. Trump for President, J. Hogan Gidley on Twitter. Thank you, Hogan. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief. That works. How do I know that? I don't have a script. I don't need one. I've been living it for a year and a half. Thanks to Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son team behind this incredible product that is providing relief to tens of thousands of Americans right now. You could be one of them. Just go to ReliefFactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if Relief Factor works for you like it works for me and thousands of your fellow Americans. You can call them on 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. Or just go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. You've waited long enough. Do it now. ReliefFactor.com.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
So we had some stuff to do before the show, and I gave the wrong answer to Shad, and he reminded me of the thing I throw at my team nigh on every day.
Do or do not. There is no try.
I said we'd try and do something before the show. What are you doing, Gorka? There is no try. Do or do not. But seriously, friends, that's what it's about for the next 46 days. We're not going to try to get the president reelected. We're not going to try and save this nation on this, of all days, Constitution Day. Our attitude has to be much simpler. we must, because of the stakes involved. We're not just here to entertain you for 3 hours of a day, or for you to download the podcast so when you're washing the dishes or walking the dog, you'll have something to distract you. We sincerely are here to build a team together. When I was approached almost 2 years ago to take over this national radio show, it was sold to me as being on the front line of a culture war. And nothing has disabused me of that reality. When you see $2 billion dollars worth of damage done to this country in just a few weeks, thanks to the rioters, when you see 34 police officers killed just so far in this year alone, when you see 7-year-old boys having their MAGA hats ripped off their heads. Why? Because people are deranged. Statues being pulled down, churches being defaced or firebombed. It's not a theory. It's not a scary dystopian future in some sci-fi novel. It's right now. So, what have you done to get the president reelected today? You need to answer that question every night and every morning when you wake up for the next 45 days. You set yourself a goal of what you will do to make America great again, to make sure that he wins and we win and our children and our grandchildren win. You can do it. Let's do it together. Go to DonaldJTrump.com, volunteer today. Go to TrumpVictory.com, become one of the MAGA leaders, and even make calls for the president from the comfort of your home at TrumpTalk.gop. You can do it. We can win. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Never give up. Never give in. Hold the line, because it is a fragile line. And as ever, stay frosty, my friends. And don't forget, this episode of our podcast is sponsored by our good friends at GoodRanchers.com. American steaks. Do good. Eat good.